Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. A favorite Christmas carol, the one that we ended our auditorium singing with, O Come All Ye Faithful, is very popular. And it is from this song and the chorus that we get today's title for our message. O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye all, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him born, the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen. O come, let us adore him. If you look up the word adore in the thesaurus, you'll find it has other words like cherish. We are to cherish the Lord. We are to love. Now, cherish, some have said, is love in action. Love is both a noun and a verb. We are to honor our Lord. We are to praise him. Why do we sing songs at church? Well, we are to make a joyful noise unto our Lord. We are to adore him. We're to respect him, revere him, to worship him. We are to give him first place. Would you please stand with me as we read from the book of Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 8. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Dr. Mark was talking about the traditions of Christmas. One of them is that he was born on December 25th. We know that Christ was not born in December because they did not have their sheep in the fields in December. But it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so glad for that Redeemer that came and paid the ransom so that we do not have to die and spend eternity in hellfire. We thank you so, Lord, for the fact that we will be able to spend eternity in heaven because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we adore the Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We will continue reading from the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Question: how did the shepherds know where to find the babe, Mary and Joseph? Well, the answer could be as simple as this, found in Micah chapter 4 and verse 8. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughters of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Megdel Edar, a.k.a. the tower of the flock. It was located outside of Bethlehem. It is where the ceremonial lambs were born and tended until they were needed at the temple in Jerusalem. It would make sense, because there was no room in the inn, that Joseph could, and maybe he would, bring Mary to this ceremonial clean tower to deliver the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And I know that would disrupt your thoughts that he was born in a cave or in some stable with horses and pigs. Well, no pigs. Horses and sheep and cattle. But it would make more sense that he would be born where the ceremonial lambs were born, as he would be the Lamb of God. Verse 15 says, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. O come, let us adore him. If you would, the book of Matthew, where we've already had the Bible reading and the verses that we read after Dr. Mark's talking to us about the wise men. And we'll read verses 1 and 2. Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the Great, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to what? To worship him. We've all heard the saying that wise men still seek him. Do you believe one is wise to seek the salvation of the Lord?
Amen.
Do you know there are a lot of people today that are in houses of worship that seek to draw close to God, but are really not being told how to do it?
Yeah.
Come any way you want. No, there is a right way to come to the Lord. Jesus Christ came for a purpose. Now, I'll be honest with you. I enjoy giving gifts. Do you like to give gifts? Hello? Well, most of you do. Do you like to receive gifts? More of you like to receive. Yes. You know, I want to say thank you to those that gave things to Donna and me. Someone gave me a huge candy bar. That was very nice. Thank you. I haven't gotten into it. You know the old saying that something that is opened is soon empty? Yes. And so I have not yet opened it, but it will be gotten into. I like dark chocolate. I have a new tie bar here. Very much. Thank you. It's very nice. And gift cards, we're going to be eating out good. Don't you like gift cards to Golden Corral? Longhorn? Yeah, other places too, very good. But did Jesus Christ come so that I'd get gifts?
No.
No, he is the gift.
Amen, man.
He's the gift. Now, it's nice that we give gifts. In fact, the Bible tells it's more blessed to what?
Give.
To give than to receive. It is a blessing to give. But Jesus Christ did not come so that we would celebrate Christmas with the giving of gifts. That's just icing on the cake. In fact, may I say this, that the only ones that truly know how to enjoy Christmas are born-again believers?
Amen. Yeah.
Did you think about that? The only ones that really know how to enjoy Christmas are born-again believers. The rest are just trying to get in on what we enjoy. Okay?
Amen.
We are the ones that know what the gift is all about. The gift came so that we could have salvation.
and they came to worship him. Why do we come to the church building? To worship. To worship. Not to be entertained, but to worship. Wise men still seek him. These wise men were not late. We've all heard the joke that if there was a woman with them, they would have been on time. They'd only been on time if they would have gotten the wise men to stop and ask for directions. Some of you will get that later on. Whenever my wife says, stop and ask for directions, you know what I do? I stop and ask for directions. I do. Now, my opinion is that these were most likely Jewish men who had come from afar, who had known the Jewish scriptures. Numbers 24:17 says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. His star, whatever it may have been, supernatural is my opinion, that it was there for a reason and for a purpose. If you would, verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Why do you think they lost the star? My opinion is they stopped following it. You see, well, what do you mean? Was Jesus born in Jerusalem? Where did they go? They went to Jerusalem. They had come so far, they were on track for so long, and then instead of going to Bethlehem, they went to Jerusalem, because they figured where else would a king be born? He'd be born in Jerusalem. And so they went to Herod and said, where is this king? And Herod was so excited about it. No, he was so excited about it that he had all the children 2 years old and under slain. He was so fearful of this one that the wise men had come to see. In verse 10 it says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You know, there's nothing quite as exciting about it, seeing a child open a gift on Christmas. Would you agree with that? Can I tell you a little story? Is it all right if I tell you a little story? How bad are you wanting to eat?
Bad.
But do we have time for a little story? A little story. As you know, Don and I are blessed with 8 grandchildren. Luke is, as you know, a Marine, and he is down in Kings Bay, Georgia. I believe that's where the submarines are kept. And He is down there. He's in security. That's as much as I can tell you, because if he tells me any more, he has to kill me. Okay. But anyways, it's Christmas Eve, and the gifts are being given out amongst the children. And Samantha and Ben have gotten toys. And Joey got an orange coat, winter coat, cool coat, lots of pockets. All kinds of zippers, all kinds of things. But it's not a what? It's not a toy. Then Evelyn, Evie, EJ, depending on which one you want to call her, she answers to all of them. She got a toy. Then Samantha got another toy. She was getting stuff for American Doll. Oh, she was all excited. She had 2 American Dolls. Yeah, I know, but she didn't get them. She has them. Why do you need 2 American Dolls? You got little girls. How many should you have? A few. So my idea of just one is not right. They need 2 or 3 or 5. Okay, well, Samantha has 2. And then the EJ has Bitty Baby. Bitty Baby, which I don't understand. I guess that's the little daughter or sister. Not the daughter. The little sister of the American Girl. So anyways, she got some more stuff for American Doll. Ben got now Legos, and he's got a Lego book, and it's time for Joey to get his second gift. And it's shoes. Joey is 8, 9. Now, mother told Donna to get a coat and shoes, I don't know. It's what he needed. It's not what he wanted. I tell you what, the look that came over his face was priceless. I mean, he was doing everything possible not to cry. I mean, the siblings all had toys, and he had a coat and shoes. Oh, eventually he liked the coat. And he did say he'd wear the shoes. Now it's the third round of gifts. And Ben got the bag of clothes. And Joey got the toy. I tell you what, it's a dog that runs across the floor barking or singing or doing different things, called Harry. It didn't look hairy. But you know, there's that excitement. There's that joy. Are you excited about the Lord? How many of you have been saved at least 50 years? Been saved at least 50 years. Have you heard a lot of sermons? Can I ask you, are there times that I'm preaching that you know where I'm going exactly? In fact, you probably could tell my illustrations. In other words, you've heard the story for a long, long time, right? In fact, some of you would do better doing this Matthew chapter 2 than I could. So what do you have to be careful of? That it doesn't become commonplace, right? That it doesn't come to the place where I've heard it. Oh, there's nothing new. Folks, it is new. It is special. God sent God to be our sacrifice. God the Father sent God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit was part of the process in impregnating Mary. And the fact of the matter is God was heavily involved in the coming of Jesus Christ. And I know you've heard the story. I mean, I was raised in the home of a Baptist preacher, and that means of my 66, oh, that hurts, 66 years, how many times have I heard the story? Well, really 64, 63, 62, well, 60 years, let's say 60 years. I mean, I've heard it a lot of times. Okay. How many times have you watched the Christmas Carol? Huh? Do you watch the different versions? How many of you like the Muppets Christmas Carol? That's one of my favorites. Every time she sings that one song there by the bridge and the time is gone, you know what I'm talking about? Man, I start crying. Every time I know it's coming. Yeah. Why do we watch The Christmas Carol or It's a Wonderful Life or other Christmas programs? Well, because we like the season. But what's the most important gift that has ever been given? The gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And it should never grow old. It should never grow old. It should be special. Oh, come, let us what? Adore him. The gifts have been seen as symbolic of Magi's recognition of Jesus' deity, although this is not necessarily implied. What the gifts did was finance the flight to Egypt. God still provides. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, if you would, please. We're going to read verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, come, let us adore him. Let me read to you Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." Oh, come, let us adore him. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Oh, come, let us adore him. Would you please take your Bibles for our last scripture reading, the book of Revelation chapter 19. Book of Revelation chapter 19. Pastor Stephen and I are in the book of Revelation in our reading from the Word of God. And it was his opportunity to read Revelation chapter 19 on Friday. And then it would be my turn to read Revelation chapter 20. And instead, on Saturday, I asked him to read Revelation chapter 19 again, because it has a number of verses here from verses 11 through 16 that just thrill me every time I read it. We're talking about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 11, it says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he might or should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, come, let us adore him." Shall we stand together? What a blessing it is that we have the honor and privilege to come and adore him. Amen. That we can thank him for all that he has done on our behalf. When you ponder what Isaiah says, when he says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and yet he still loves us. And God has given us this unspeakable gift. This one who is true and faithful, the Word of God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to honor your name. And Lord, we thank you for the love that you have shed upon us. And Lord, I don't believe we will fully understand it until we stand before thee in heaven and then bow before thee, thanking thee. Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know thee as Savior, may this be the day that they would say yes to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your patience, your grace. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.